Welcome to This Week in Lotus. The weekly roundtable discussion of all things social, collaboration, technology and community. Here's your host, Stuart McIntyre.
This Week in Lotus, episode 90, recorded on Friday, 24th February 2012. The XPages Portable Command Guide. We meet with the four authors of the latest XPages book to discuss its aims and content, who should read it, which resources someone new to the technology should read, and much more. Oh, and Darren takes questions from the audience. Dangerous. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find this and other tech-related podcasts at techpodcast.com. Hello and welcome to This Week in Lotus. We are back for episode 90 of the weekly roundtable podcast about all things Lotus and IBM collaboration solutions. Once again, I'm joined by my glorious co-host, Mr. Darren Duke. How are you, Darren?
Glorious.
Oh, it wouldn't be the same show without you.
That's a word seldom used to describe me, except in my own head.
Well, there you go. Feel free to tweet that now. Stuart said,
I'm glorious. I like that.
It's great to have you on again. We are joined by four great IBMers today to talk about a book they've written. So first of all, we have Martin Donnelly. Hi there, Martin.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm very well today and glad to be back on Twill. Is this Twill 90?
It is Twill 90. Yeah. We're approaching the century very fast.
Very good.
So you've been on, I think, a couple of times before. Also probably talking about XPages and books, but it's fantastic to have you back on.
Well, maybe it's a third time lucky for me. People might understand me this time, you know.
Oh, they all do, I know. Tell us what you do for IBM.
I'm the team lead of the XPages runtime team in Dublin, and I've been on this technology since it came out. So I guess, you know, we do whatever we can to make XPages available in as good as it can be, and that includes, as we'll discuss today, throwing a couple of books out there to help people along.
Excellent. Well, we'll talk about the books as we go along, but thanks for joining us. Also, one of your colleagues, Mr. Tony McGuckin. Hi there, Tony.
Hi, Stuart.
Hello. Great to have you back on as well. Do you want to tell us where you fit into the organisation and how you work with Martin?
Yeah, I'm a software engineer on the XPages runtime team. I work with Martin on the XPages runtime. That's me.
Excellent. And now, I might have this wrong, but I'm sure last time we had you on back in episode 39, I think it was, I'm sure you said you would never write another book, or your wife may not allow you to. Is that right?
Yeah, I still recall the suffering that I went through. But somehow I got lapdogged into working on another one.
Well, well done for doing it, and I hope you didn't get into too much trouble. And
we had the pictures.
Look forward to seeing those. And also joined by a third colleague, by Maura Keo. Did I get that right?
You did. Thank you.
And tell us what you do, Maura.
Again, I'm a developer on XPages, working with Martin and Tony on the team in Dublin, building controls and working through all those glorious issue reports you guys send us.
Oh, you nearly said bugs there, Maura.
Never.
Issue reports. And fortunately, you can't blame either Darren or I for many of those. Given we're not XPages developers, at least you're not pointing at us saying we created too many of those bug reports.
I put all mine in on client side, so they'll never be mine.
They can't be traced back to you.
Yeah.
But great. And definitely, last but not least, we have Dan O'Connor as well. Hi there, Dan.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great, thank you. Thanks for being on the podcast, your first time. It's great to have you with us. Tell us how you fit into the whole thing.
So I'm actually the team lead for Domino Designer. I'm based out of Littleton, Massachusetts, but I've worked closely with the other three authors for probably for 4 or 5 years now. We actually worked on projects before Domino Designer, so we've a pretty good relationship at this stage, but mainly I'm responsible for Domino Designer.
Excellent. Okay,
so just as a question, is that Maureen Leland's old position?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's... Congratulations on the new job.
Thank you.
Fantastic. So have you just moved out to Littleton or have you been there a while?
Oh, no. I've been here for 12, 13 years now.
Okay.
You can tell by the accent.
Yeah.
Well, it's fantastic to have all four of you on. It's great for you to join us. Really appreciate you taking time out of, I know, your very busy day. So, Martin, why don't you kick us off? Tell us about your new book.
Okay. So, we tried to get us out for Lotusphere. We missed by a little bit, but it was really coming on the back of Mastering XPages, which we released in 2011 at Lotusphere. Mastering XPages, kind of a 750-page tome on all things software development within the realm of XPages. And I guess... given that that went down pretty well and we got lots of very positive feedback in the main from that, I'd be impressed, made us aware of other publication types, one type being a portable command guide, which they wondered would it fit into the XPages model. And the intent of the portable command guide was different to your typical book insofar it was, you know, intended for engineers in the field trying to solve everyday problems, needing quick lookups, needing quick solutions. So maybe not so much in terms of the design and development stage of the app, but the tuning and tweaking of applications as they're deployed, as you run into runtime and deployment problems. So there is that focus to it. It is not just development issues, it's kind of administrative issues, deployment issues, on-site tweaking. And the actual book, I guess, is intended to be what the name says, what it says on the cover there, portable, so that people can, you know, pull this out on demand and just that might be a concept that's aging a little bit with e-books now, but you know, you're supposed to have this close to hand and that you could dive into your whatever problem of the day is and find your solution readily and continue on your merry way. So we did look at it through that lens and you know, exposed a lot of things like xsp.properties and little known notes in e-variables and that sort of thing, a lot of debugging topics, you know, to help people in the field.
I did, we'll talk about the video in a minute on YouTube, but I did like, mm-hmm. I think it was Tony that said, and we cover a lot of the client-side JavaScript, which was a bit of a mystery to this book, and I just thought that was kind of funny.
Now he was talking about a mystery to us.
So we've all seen the Mastering XPages book and its sheer immense size. This one's a more svelte book. It's how many pages?
It's 300 cover.
Oh, that's a magazine for you guys.
Yeah.
So did that bring challenges in a different direction then? I guess you must have had to try to be concise about everything you wrote and sort of fit it into a certain number of words.
Yeah, absolutely. So it was, I guess Mastering XPages, you know, you were as you say, in a different sort of writing mode where it was much more explorative and you were coming up with user scenarios and developing applications to according to kind of the user stories and maybe being quite UI focused and stuff like that, whereas this was much more sort of a problem solution type thing, you know, and conciseness was the order of the day. There are sample files that go out with it to help illustrate certain points, but you know, it's mostly a self-contained book.
Tony, do you want to talk about how you kind of split up the writing of the books? Obviously, got four authors involved here. How did you work out who's going to cover each area?
Yeah, well, I guess it was a little bit different than what we had done with Mastering XPages, in that, you know, we had three authors plus a co-author. We had pretty much split it out chapter by chapter based on expertise. But with the portable command guide, what we tried to do was take a collective approach chapter by chapter. We worked on it together. There may be just a couple of exceptions in there, but pretty much we were, you know, at least two of us at any one time were working on each chapter, if not all four.
So it wasn't one of these things where we said, okay, we got 300 pages, we're going to split up 75 pages each, go. And then the guys that did the Mastering XPages book were like, 75 pages, I can do that in a night.
And Tell us then, you know, obviously we talk about a lot of collaboration tools on this podcast, and you know, so wikis and yeah, now what's going to be IBM Docs. Did you use any of those kind of tools to allow you to collaboratively edit stuff, or did you do it in more traditional kind of, you know, documents and then send them to each other? How did you work that out?
Yeah, we were pretty much bounded by the templates that were given, you know, through IBM Press. So pretty much you are working inside document format. And I guess it's safe to say that we were using SVN, you know, through Domino Designer, we were using SVN to manage the versioning of those documents, which we found very, very useful.
And something that we hadn't done with its larger predecessor. So that was a lesson learned.
Yeah,
that's an interesting use for Domino Design and Subversion is co-authoring documents. I like that.
Excellent.
Yeah, if you want to write a book, Darren, let us know and we'll tell you how to set it up.
Yeah, no. I'm going to make my fortune to buy my island a different way.
And Maura and Dan, how did you guys get roped into this? I imagine Tony and Martin must have come to you at some stage and said, hey, this book writing idea is great. Why don't you join in? How did they convince you to get involved?
Oh, pretty much like that. A bit more, you know, massaging. Oh, and your areas of expertise, of course, would be vital and helpful, of course, with writing this up. But yeah, pretty much they asked us to help out. And well, that was my case anyway.
Yeah, in my case, pretty similar. But actually, the phone call from Martin started about something else, and then it drifted on to, would you like to write a book? So I said I would. I saw what a success Mastering X Pages was, so I figured that I might as well get on board while I could.
Excellent. Well, I really appreciate you guys all getting involved in this and putting this out. It's fantastic. And for those that haven't seen the book yet, which I guess is pretty much all the listeners, you know, I guess it's similar to almost one of the maybe O'Reilly in a Nutshell books. Is that something that's kind of sensible to compare it with?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much on the ball. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, as you said, 300 pages cover to cover. So, yeah, what do you think, guys? O'Reilly in a Nutshell?
One of the key things about it is, you know, you don't have to read it from front to back. You're not reading cover to cover. If you've got a problem, you've got an issue, you know, you can pretty much look up the index and jump to that page, jump to that section.
Yeah, it's not that there's no need to kind of start, you know, work your way through the chapter sequentially here. It's very granular to that extent. Jump in anywhere.
And one of the things that I meant to stop one of you guys, and I just didn't have time, at Lotusphere, was to see, you know, what the take up has been by the rank and file developers at the customers and the business partners for the first book, which has obviously been massive due to the second book. Do you guys get stopped in hallways now and asked questions about it?
Well, it has happened, yeah. you know, I think the take-up has been very good on the books, to be fair. I mean, like, the Mastering X Pages sold out at Lotusphere, and I think actually this year, even though it's a year on and you think that, well, does everybody who needs it have it? It sold a lot of copies there again, you know. We would have loved to have had a portable command guide ready, but unfortunately, you know, just a month later. But at least that helps us get over the post-Lotusphere blues, you know. We do get a lot of questions on it, and I think it's good to have out there. I think if you actually kind of put the two books together, maybe we felt that, you know, Mastering X Pages, as big as it was, we didn't quite get to everything that was there. You know, like, there's a lot, you know, what the first chapter in this book, actually, XSP.properties, I think it runs to about 80 pages. And so, I mean, that's one big topic that just wasn't covered in Mastering X Pages. Now, I think it's probably more suited to a book of this type. But if we look at the two of them as a whole, I think we felt we probably got a good handle on the overall technology that is X Pages between the two of these. So, I'd say there should be probably equal uptake on them, we hope.
And I'm sure there will be. And one, you know, item of feedback for me is that I haven't heard a bad thing said about the Mastering X Pages book. You know, everybody I've heard from has regarded it in a really good way in terms of it being, you know, the Bible for X Pages. So it's fantastic to have this now sort of addendum to it or extra piece that allows that fast reference access, because, you know, finding something in Mastering X Pages is pretty difficult just for the length of it. But to have those two things together is fantastic. So if say somebody was at Loadsphere and heard about XPages for the first time, if you believe that, or maybe they were in a session where they got energized by the idea of moving from classic development into doing XPages, would you say getting hold of both books is a good thing? And then how would you kind of guide them through reading or referring to those? Would you go through the whole of Mastering XPages first and then have the extra one as some additional information?
Well, I'm biased, so I let Dan take that one.
thanks, Martin. So yeah, I think you would need to, if you were brand new to XPages, you probably would want to start with the Mastering XPages book. But that said, you probably won't get too far into developing XPages until you'll find a need for the portable command guide. The portable command guide, it's much more sort of for how to configure your server and how to configure your application so that it performs well and so that, just to get over those lesser known issues that typically people have to go to blogs to find or whatever. Whereas the actual Mastering XPages is probably just more how to develop the app, I guess. So what do you think, Tony? Do you agree?
Yeah, you've also got that other dimension where you may have an advanced developer. You know, they're coming off classic Domino, or they're coming from some other technology. You know, for those guys, yes, buying both books is the proper thing to do. And as they read through Master and XPages, they're going to stumble across things such as the XSP client side object. If they want to expand upon that, they can certainly refer to the portable command guide. So the two would complement each other.
Fantastic. And is it available in online formats as well, or is it just available in paperback format?
Yeah, it's also available in ebook format.
Fantastic. That's really good news. Okay, I mean, I just can't wait to get hold of it and get reading with it. It sounds fantastic. And does it cover some of the newer technologies that have been released through OpenNTF as well, some of the extensions?
Typically not, but there's a book coming forth that actually I think this book is on its way to you, Stuart, because and Darren, you too.
Excellent.
Because I think I've seen people tweeting that they've received them, but there's a certain number of copies that would go out to people in the forefront, like yourselves. So if you haven't received it yet, then
your faith in us is nice, but completely misplaced.
Well, you can't say that in public, you know. How will we give you the next one? But there's a book that Paul Hannan and other members of the community are working away on the extension library. I'm not Paul Withers and
Tim Chukini, right?
Yeah, a whole bunch of people. So I'm not sure what the date is. I think I heard April on that one, but I mean that should really cover end-to-end stuff on the extension library. And I think there's another one also in process on converting applications to XPages, not full up in the detail of that, maybe Tony or someone else is, but I think there's yet another book in there which is more about taking existing applications and XPageifying them.
Yeah, I've heard of that one too. Now, I'm not too sure where it's at in the process, but it's definitely
in the pipeline.
In the pipeline.
Fantastic. And let's move on now to this video that Darren mentioned earlier on. There's a fantastic video on YouTube that started doing the Manifest Day, which is Meet the Authors of this book, which I think is fantastic. So all four of you, I think, feature in that. Is that right?
Well, nearly. Maura just wouldn't come to Loadsphere this year, no matter what, no matter how we try to get her on the plane, you know.
Priorities there. I'd just gotten married, so you know, after coming off a book, I wanted a bit of a break there. Sorry, but
so go on then, Maura. Let's put you on the spot then. How did you find the book? The video when you saw it for the first time. Did it make you laugh?
They looked wonderful. Look at them all dressed up, presentable, and they spoke well and they give a good synopsis of what the book's about. So it's a very good video. Well done.
It was recorded at Loadsphere, so you know, looking good on Sunday afternoon is quite a challenge.
Well, at least it wasn't Wednesday afternoon, because that would have been completely shot. So I watched it this morning after someone put the link in the show notes, and I found it a very good 2.5 minute you know, shot, what this book is about, why you should buy it, and who wrote it. And I think it's a very good point to that social media is for more than just cat playing piano. And that's my point I want to make, is I actually think this would lead to some sales directly just because of the video. And it's actually a very well produced one as well. It's not just the fluff that I would put together. It's actually quite good.
There was a guy, Thurston Smith, Johnny, wasn't that
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. Thurston, he's a visual media expert, you know, for IBM. So it certainly doesn't surprise us that it's so well cut.
Oh, see, that's where me and him differ. I'm not a visual expert on anything. Purple buttons, yellow text, baby.
So that's why you don't do much development these days, Darren. I was very impressed by the video as well. The quality of the graphics and the way it's all put together, and the sort of snippets of voice and so on, all put together, I thought worked really, really well. And I, as Darren says, I can see it selling a lot of books. And actually, that then took me on to seeing a load of intros to other books as well that IBM Press have done. So it's great to see them adopting social in that way to start telling people about the books they're working on. That's fantastic. And Martin, just to widen the net a little bit, about 4 years down the line with XPages, are we? 3 or 4 years it's been out in terms of 8.5 being available. Where do you think we are with it now? Do you think it's completely replaced classic development in most situations?
It's a very good question. I think what we do see at Lotusphere from year to year is an upping of the ante. You know, that the first year we're introducing the technology, the second year, you know, we're kind of introducing that this now runs on the client, you can take your apps offline. I think by 2011, you were seeing some very good quality applications, people coming to you in the labs with this application and sort of wanting you to try and debug a particular problem from there and then. But you know, that was great, right? But people had obviously taken this and run with it, and it took probably a couple of releases before that became mainstream. And I think it became mainstream 2 Lotuspheres ago, where you could really see people were working with this. And so this year, more of the same, more adoption, applications becoming that bit more sophisticated. People, I think what was different about it was a lot of big companies, a lot of big customers had gone with OpenNTF, and you know, seen that there was a gap there they needed to close, and they took stuff from OpenNTF and had taken their applications that bit further. So that's where we see it, I suppose, in terms of people typically coming to you trying with an application that's in development and wanting you to solve a particular problem, and that's the sort of view that we have of it. So every year it seems to be on the up and up, and as I said, the adoption of the extension library and seems to be really taken off. Of course, UP1, right, the upgrade pack that came out there, which allows you to take that content officially and put it into 8.5.3, will also help address some companies that would have been reluctant to take open source, perhaps on the basis of IBM support and stuff. So I think we've got a good model there. That's just my opinion. So anyway, I think all Tony and Maura and Dan, you're all out there working with folks all the time and probably have your own insights on that.
I think you're right about it, Martin. This year in the lab, specifically at Lotusphere, I noticed that most of the questions were very technical. You know, you could see people were really getting into it, whereas the first couple of years it was more like just show me what are XPages and, you know, what is XPages? There was very few of those questions this year. It was mostly, you know, some extremely sophisticated question about a problem that they were actually having, you know, when developing an app, which is great to see. I think it shows exactly how much they're embracing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even out in the field, you know, we are involved with some high-profile customers and so on that we can't speak of here today. But certainly we are seeing some very, very advanced applications coming along. And even going out on site visits and so on, like, you know, some of these guys are doing some fantastic stuff. And in some cases, you know, XPages has been the pivot upon which some projects, some major projects have been won as such against some of our competitors. So we certainly we have a lot of confidence in it, and I don't feel in any way that it's a toddler at this stage.
Oh, you like that?
Not even a pimply adolescent anymore, you know?
Oh, I wish I was.
And how about inside IBM? Because, you know, within the boundaries of the IBM firewall, I know there's a huge amount of application development that gets done. We hear regularly about, W3 for your own intranet and so on. Are there any great examples of XPages being used internally? I mean, if you can't share the exact situation, then that's fine. But just, I'm interested to know how XPages are being used within the walls of IBM as well as outside.
I think Tony has some great stories there.
Yeah, there's a couple of very specific stories internally with our CIO office. So these guys are responsible for keeping us all abreast with the latest applications and so on. And even taking a simple example, one we can speak about is the templates. If you take the discussion on the team room template, re-energized with XPages and now deployed internally across the board. And that goes further in that we are doing some very interesting work with another CIO team, which I can't speak of, but it's a very, very interesting application, which reaches outside the firewall of IBM, but also internally.
Based as well on extension library stuff, Sony, right? Not just
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, in all cases, even with the team room case, that again, this is built upon the best of the extension library, so.
And I think that's really important, it's fantastic IBM is developing Domino further and Lotus Notes further as well, and that customers out there are using it. But it's always interesting to hear how it's being used inside IBM as well, just because, if you're not committed to it as a company, then, why would other people be? And so it's fantastic to know that these applications are being built and used and, working with other technologies you have as well in terms of integration too. So that's fantastic. And Darren, swinging it over to you, there's been quite a lot about XPages in the kind of Planet Lotus area recently. Lots of positive stories, but also one sort of relatively negative one from Andrew Pollock as well. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I don't think it was necessarily a negative post. I think he was a bit the emperor has no claws, more along the lines of that. And he was complaining about the lack of documentation provided by IBM inside of a product. And I think his point is, if we're to attract classic Notes developers and even non-Notes developers, true Eclipse people to the platform, isn't documentation the one thing that you're going to need? And, there was an awful lot of comments on that blog post. There had to be 25-plus comments the last time I looked, which I think was yesterday afternoon. A couple of comparisons came out along the lines of, well, look at the documentation you get with Visual Studio, which is always going to happen. So I think Andrew has a point that the documentation in the product itself may be a bit lacking. But I also think we're losing sight of whenever you learn something new, it takes you anywhere between 4 weeks and 4 months to get proficient with it. And I don't think it matters if it's on Eclipse, if it's Domino, if it's Visual Studio, if it's My Eclipse, whatever it is, it takes you a while to get proficient. But I think the lack of documentation maybe prolongs that learning curve. And I think he has a valid point.
And I guess, swinging it back around to the IBM, I won't put you on the spot about this kind of stuff, but it's interesting that whenever we talk to IBM product management people, one of the key things is that every product that IBM releases has to be multilingual, has to be available in 25 languages, whatever it is, has to be supportable for a certain period of time. And I guess that puts stress on the documentation process, because it means that must be incredibly onerous to put together. And I can see that as an outsider. And I guess that's why things like the books are so important, is that you can only go so far in the documentation you ship with the product. But if you can provide a really good suite of books you can buy at relatively low cost externally, then that then gets the user a lot further along the line in terms of understanding technology. And I guess that's where your books come in.
Absolutely. I mean, I think the Mastering XPages first book was completely in response to we're probably 852, right? It was completely in response to what was a genuine lack of documentation at that point. You were still building up help doc and so forth. But you know, even help doc can again be a bit more like portable command guide in terms of like its information about. It's not necessarily holistic. It's information about a certain problem in a certain space, and so where we felt we could contribute there was kind of more the use cases, the thing that you're rolling out. Like if somebody wants to come along, get the suite with XPages and learn to build apps, where do they start? So mastering XPages was in response to a definite gap. I think personally that gap has, maybe the commentary is a little bit dated, because I think that gap has closed a lot in the 8.5.2, 8.5.3 releases. If you go to the help pages now, there is a lot more information on the JavaScript classes and so forth. And I know there's been a lot of, there has been catch-up work done in that regard for sure.
And the
one place I would agree with Andrew, and we've said this multiple times before, is the lack of links in the Domino product set, be it Domino Design or Loader's Notes, out to the resources. And I think that the point I agree completely with Andrew is it's difficult to find them resources if you're not already actively involved in the community. And it would be nice, and we've said this quite a bit, to have links inside of the products themselves out to things like the online documentation that IBM has out on developer works. And also, I think OpenNTF might be in there. I haven't looked in a while. But things like that, I think, would go a long way to stop people having to go out to Google and trawl lots of information. And I agree with Martin. I think the gap has closed massively, but I still think there is a slight gap, especially if you're not used to how the community works and going and finding things like Notes in 9 or XPages 101. I think it would be nice to have some type of link to that information inside the product, even if it is only IBM-sanctioned information.
Yeah, so we can see the point there, definitely. And one of the thoughts that had been spun around and will probably be coming in a future release, I'm not sure which one, would be a new homepage where we would have a whole host of links to all of these different sites. Like a major part of our problem was we released this in 8.5 and none of these resources were available. And it kind of, you know, it slipped by the radar then maybe for a release or two, and now we are where we are. So we'll
chicken and the egg, definitely, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely looking into improving the homepage so that there's something right there in front of you when you get in, because we have links, for instance, in there's a welcome page that comes up when you first launch Designer, but what we've found after a few releases now is that people typically just dismiss that without even reading it. So it's a kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't type situation. But yeah, definitely we are looking into making some of those links more front and center.
Fantastic. It'd be good if they kind of automatically updated as well. So, you know, if there's any way you can pull a set of links off the web that get updated on a regular basis into the product, then that, you know, that would be a really good way forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. And again, back to Darren, you did a crazy thing this week, sir. You asked on Twitter what people wanted us to answer. What made you do that, for goodness sake?
I was bored. I actually... My mind works in mysterious ways, which is probably no secret to anyone that saw my Twitter stream during the OGS. But the long and the short of it was, I know Stuart gets a bit peeved that we have a lack of feedback on the podcasts occasionally. And my idea was, instead of asking for comments after the podcast, what would happen if I asked for questions before a podcast? And kind of instead of doing a mailbag kind of thing, do a tweetbag. You know, if you've got any questions that we can, if we can fit them in, we'll ask them. And there was actually a couple of useful ones that came out of that. And that was the thought behind it. That was the thought process. And as with all things, once you hit enter, you can't take it back.
And so Steve Pitcher, one of the IBM champions, a great fan of the iSeries or iOS or whatever we call it these days, said, what does the major lack of quicker sessions at LS12 indicate? So as the quicker guru, how would you take that one, Darren?
I think a lot of people are reading a bit more into this than actually is. I honestly think IBM didn't really have a lot to say about quicker this year, mainly because they were trying to address what is now called FixPack 25, which is an interesting name, which was closing a gap between functionality and quicker 8.2 on Domino, between what was given in 8.5 in Domino, and what basically stopped a lot of upgrades from Quicker 8.2 to 8.5. So I think they've spent the last, 12 to 18 months on the Quicker team, trying to address that gap, for want of a better word, between the two releases. And I think because of all the work that was done in there, there's nothing really new to show. And I think if there's nothing really new to show, Lotusphere time is valuable. So if I've got nothing new to show, what am I going to show? And there was maybe two or three sessions this year. But I think that kind of tells you where the product is today. I would expect to see more next year when Quicker 8.6 is getting close or even has been released. So I think, silence says a lot, but I think the silence is being read into a bit too deep here.
I tend to agree with that. And if people want to find out more about the plans for Quicker, then go back to This Week in Lotus 87 when Luis Benitez came on and talked about some of the plans they announced at Lotusphere. It's clear there is definitely a really good product roadmap for Quicker. So I'd echo what you said, Aaron. I think time at Lotusphere is incredibly valuable. There was a lot of news there around some of the other products, not least around X-Pages. And if you schedule sessions for one product, you take them away from another. So they have to kind of balance that out. And so I don't think there's too much to read from that one. The other question that came from Mr. Lotus Evangelist Keith Brooks is, if not yellow, what colour will ICS be? And so, I think yellow.
I think we should go around the table here.
Go on then, IBMers. What colour would you make ICS in the future?
Green.
That's taken.
Is that for the island connection?
That's us.
Transparent yellow. Yeah.
Transparent yellow.
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because we've used all the Teletubbies colours now. So where do you go after that?
Teletubbies colour.
Pink, maybe.
#FF0.
I've got to go to Google and find out what that is.
The disgraceful. Yep. Haven't looked that up.
Brown. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because, I'll tell you what, that takes us on to another interesting blog post this week, which is that, who was it? Carl Tyler blogged about the fact that the blue swirls on the same time logo and splash screen have gone now just to be replaced by white. And it's kind of interesting to see where some of this branding goes, because there was such a big push towards yellow, particularly around the Lotus Nose kind of time frame, wasn't there? And obviously now the Lotus name is going to some extent and the yellow's gone. It's interesting to know what kind of colour we see coming out in both the marketing but also the branding around the products. And so maybe that's the answer. Maybe they're just going to white and keeping it very IBM focused and not really having that color scheme.
And I think that's the end game. Is we've heard for years the IBM brand is so valuable, let's put everything under there. But I think it's quite funny that if you went and asked someone on the street, have you heard of IBM, they'd say yes, and then you'd ask them, what do IBM do, and they say, I have no idea. It's a thin line between having a brand that's so well known but having products inside the brand that are not well known at all. And it's an interesting marketing question, but I think it'll be answered over the next 10, 15 years.
Well, I'm sure we'll come back to that one again a few times in the future, but we're running out of time, so let's move on to our tips. As most people should know by now, every guest we have on this podcast, and Darren and I too, get to talk about a tip at the end of the podcast, which could be a site, a feature, a product, a book even, that you want to recommend to listeners of the show. So Darren, kick us off.
I had a horrendous past 4 days.
No, I thought you'd been quiet.
That this is why. So a customer accidentally rolled out Symantec Endpoint Protection Upgrade, which pushed out, and this is all in the show notes, which pushed out an update to Symantec Endpoint Protection 11.0.7 and higher. And it basically nuked every version of Notes that was running Windows XP on there. In their environment, every single one. And the fix is actually in the show notes. So the only fix I've managed to find so far, I've got to beat Symantec up because it appears like it's a Symantec problem. But needless to say, if you're looking to do a Symantec upgrade to 11.0.2 and you use the Notes preloader, you will run into problems. And I can hand on heart tell you that you will, because I saw it myself. And the fix is documented. You have to basically touch a lot of desktops for the fix. So be very wary if you're upgrading to that and talk to Symantec. And there may even be an IBM fix. I've got a talk on a design partner forum to a couple of guys. But I don't think this is an IBM issue. I think it's a Symantec issue.
Excellent. Or do users favor move them off Windows? But maybe that's a bigger topic. Martin, what's your tip?
I'll kind of go back to a tip that maybe we've pushed out there before, but I think there's never been maybe a better time to remind people of OpenNTF and, well, let's take XPages and OpenNTF in particular. Like, there's just so much activity out there now. There's with the whole model we have around pushing technology out there for preview, and with the opportunity to get these things folded into future upgrade packs or core releases, I think there's never been a better chance to actually have your say and to influence the future of it. And going back to the kind of discussion we had about the lack of doc and lack of this, you know, these are kind of problems that we have in hindsight, whereas really you could, I think, prevent problems like that occurring if you're active on XPages and on OpenNTF and contributing and getting your thoughts out there. There's a much better chance of problems being avoided or the right things being included and so forth. And I think there's some exciting projects out there now in the social space and the relational space, and that we could really do with comments on. And I think it'll you'll have much more impact than you think, perhaps, and have a, this is your tool to help drive this technology forward. So please, if you're not active, get active, and if you're active, get more active.
Tremendous advice, and yeah, you know, I echo all of that. OpenNTF is doing some fabulous work at the moment around XPages, and some of their sites I know are being updated, so keep an eye on XPages to see the latest there. Tony, what's your tip?
Okay, my tip is very simple. Go get the XPages portable command guide. And if you've not already got Mastering XPages, you should definitely get that as well. to pull one chapter from the portable command guide, chapter 4. It's an extensive chapter. Like chapter 1, a very long chapter, deals with the XSP client-side object. So well worth a good read. Also, nothing to do with XPages, but equally as mind-boggling, is a book that I'm currently reading. It's The Quantum Universe, all about quantum physics. A good intro to it. It's by Professor Brian Cox and Jeff.
We love Brian Cox.
Yeah, good stuff. Very good read.
And so everything that can happen does happen. So this is the whole parallel universe. So there's another universe where neither of you wrote books.
Exactly. Yeah,
and we're, and your both dog will be a lot happier.
And we're both in it at the same time.
I'm there.
Brilliant. Thank you, Tony and Maura. What's your tip?
Just to go read the Domino App Dev Wiki. It's an IBM wiki on the internet, and we have posted lots of documentation up there, and there's some of it that I think people may not be so aware of, like the API documentation for XPages. It's up there as an extensibility API, but actually those are the same classes you're interacting with in server-side JavaScript, so it's got the descriptions and just brief Java doc descriptions of what all the actual methods and properties and all actually do. I'm not aware of people having really noticed it that much. So
they don't. When they read that, they go, "Oh, that's where this information is." It is actually very good.
Yeah,
and we've got a link in the show notes to that wiki as well. So go check that out. And Dan, what's your tip?
Yeah, well, my tip is to go to stackoverflow.com to get your answers for your XPages questions. So after Lotusphere, there was some discussion in the community about what was the best way of getting answers quickly for questions. So part of the problem was that we have various forums, but while they were being answered, it wasn't a very quick turnaround on some things. So the community got together and they've now started posting questions on Stack Overflow, and it seems to be going very nicely. The XPages and designer team, we do check in there fairly regularly as well, but in fairness, in most cases, the community's already had an answer in place for the questions.
Excellent. And that's an interesting challenge, isn't it? Is do you try and keep the discussion on an IBM provided site where there's some kind of control and, you know, content management and data protection, all that kind of stuff? Or do you go where the users are onto a public site? And I think we probably try both now, but it's interesting to see that kind of shift towards the public Stack Overflow site. And there are so many hundreds of thousands of users on there. I think it's going to be phenomenal to see what kind of reaction we get around the Domino and XPages stuff. So fabulous. Thanks for the tip. And my tip this week, well, as usual, I have a couple. First of all, if you do any kind of personal accounts, wherever you are in the world, actually, because they're pretty much worldwide, there is a really good cloud-based financial system called Xero, which is spelled with an X. So it's X-E-R-O. We're just shifting to it for collaboration matters, having worked with various different things in the past. Certainly, if you're also a Mac user, there's been a bit of a dearth of accountancy packages that run on latest versions of the Mac software. So moving to a cloud-based solution is a really good option. The other one is UC Expo, which is a expo show coming up at Olympia in London on the 6th and 7th of March. If you're not booked to go there and you're interested in UC or social business, do check that out. We've got a link in the show notes to that and some of the work that Collaboration Matters are doing that at that event. So that brings us to the end of our show. We'll quickly go around the table one more time and ask, how do people track you down or find you on the net? Do you have a Twitter ID or a blog or anything like that you'd like to provide? So Darren, what's yours?
Blog.darrenduke.net for all things technically related. And shock horror, I posted a blog the other day and the world still spun. It didn't end the world. And then Twitter, Darren Duke, all one word for my 140 character rants about 100% status bars not really being 100%.
Yes, I saw that the other day. The ones that go to 100% and then go back to zero again and start again.
It's irksome at best and highly irritating at worst.
Okay, thank you, Darren. And Martin, what's your contact information?
Yeah, you'll actually just recently opened the Twitter account, so you'll find me at Tweeter Donnelly is my account there, and I've been active on LinkedIn, so you can if you do a LinkedIn search, you'll find me also.
Phenomenal, thank you. It's great to see you on Twitter. That's great. And Tony, how do people find you?
Yeah, I also have a Twitter account, which I've not been very good at participating in, but given that we're doing some mobile and social work now within 2012,
then it's certainly a good way. Social work.
I need a new washing machine.
it's certainly a good way to try and engage me with it. So it's Twitter / Tony McGuckin.
Excellent. Thank you, Tony. And Maura? How do people find you?
They tend to not directly. Tends to go via other people.
Do you like
people.
It that way?
Yeah, it seems to work for me. But
P.O. box.
anything that goes via Martin or via Paul Hannon, it'll end up with me if it's my area of expertise.
Awesome.
Or if it's too difficult.
And how about you, Dan?
Yes, so I have a Twitter account, which is DOConnor78, and also I can be found on LinkedIn.
Tremendous, and we'll have all those links in the show notes. And all four of you, thank you so much for both the work you've done on the book. It's phenomenal that you're putting that stuff out there and sharing with the community, and I hope it does really, really well. We'll have links to the Amazon versions in the show notes for everybody. And also thanks for taking part in the podcast. Really appreciate your time. I know how busy you guys are.
Thank you very much, Stuart and Aaron. Thanks for asking us again, and we're delighted to help.
Excellent. It's great to have you on. And I am Stuart McIntyre. You can find me on Twitter at Stuart McIntyre or on the blog at blog.collaborationmatters.com. So until next week, this was This Week in Lotus. Bye.
All opinions expressed during this podcast are those of the participants only and do not necessarily represent those of their employer.